Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and I'm always excited every time I open my eyes, really. But even to add to that, whenever I open my eyes and I'm able to share people with you that are life changers and life savers and, you know, people that actually make the planet better by their presence, that's always an extra treat for me. And so having said that, I've got a treat for you. Now, you know what's interesting about that? You know, I say that I have a treat for you. You know, I never thought if someone would have asked me, oh, say, you know, 20 years ago, that if, you know, talking about holistic health would be what I consider that a treat. You know, and probably not 20 years ago, but once you start to appreciate life and you appreciate people that can help you maintain your health so that you can actually enjoy your life, you really do understand that, yeah, it is a treat to even talk with people that are having such a profound impact on people's lives. And with that, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to all of the new listeners. Since my guest has been on last, the show listenership has just grown and grown by leaps and bounds. And so I want to say thank you to all of the new listeners. Don't be shy. If during the course of this discussion you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is just press 1, and then I can bring you on and you can ask your question or make your comment. Special guest today is a very, very powerful brother. Okay, who has been on the holistic health path for many, many years, probably longer than some of the listeners have even been born. And he's been doing his work successfully. And again, it's an honor to have somebody of this caliber with his credentials on to share information that, like I said earlier, can either change your life or, in some cases, even save your life. My special guest today is Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. He's a graduate of Howard University School of Medicine, School of Medicine College in 1977. He works in Washington, D.C. and specializes in general practice and family medicine. Doctor, it's been a while, but, man, it's always a pleasure to have you back. I call you God's doctor. Welcome back to the show. It's always great to talk to you.
It's always good to be on. I'm glad that we're back. Sorry we were away so long. Things have been jumping. It's amazing. People actually want to get well. You know, people actually want to get well. That's very interesting. And very, very, very exciting. I shouldn't say interesting, very exciting.
You know, Doctor, I was thinking about you even as I was preparing for the show. And I was thinking about the fact that there are a lot of doctors out here, a lot of physicians out here practicing medicine. And then there are people who are, you know, have gone in, who are practicing allopathic medicine. And then you have people who, like yourself, are practicing holistic medicine. And then, you know, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I call you God's doctor. And when I thought about it and was thinking about you, who, here's a person, speaking of yourself, you know, who had a thriving practice, practicing as a practicing surgeon, and left that field to enter into holistic medicine. And I'm sure it's safe to say, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that when you made the switch back in, you know, decades ago, there probably was not a rush from the masses to your door to, you know, change their lifestyle, to get off, you know, to change their lifestyle to a plant-based diet. I mean, it probably wasn't like people were beating your doors down to get this information about holistic living. And I say that because, again, as I was thinking about you, it takes a person, a special type of person, to say, I'm going to save lives, even though the information that I'm going to be sharing with people goes against everything that they may have been taught, everything that they may have grown up hearing and believing. I'm still going to share this information because it's the truth, because it works, you know. And I thought about that, and I thought about you. I said, here's a brother who really must have been committed to saving lives over profit. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's fair. But and as you said, I did not jump into this. I went kicking and screaming, but I did it because I felt God was leading me to do that.
That is truly, truly amazing. And after having been doing it for a while, you understand why, and you've seen, I'm sure, on numerous occasions, just the power and the wisdom of God, even as we talk about, nutrition, we talk about, holistic health, just the wisdom of God with everything that He created, even down to the foods that He created. Well, today, everybody, again, we're going to be talking with God's doctor, Dr. Ted Watkins, but today we're going to be talking about a very, very important piece to the puzzle of your health, and that's exercise. We're going to be talking today about exercise and your health. It's part of a series that Dr. Watkins is currently doing called The 8 Laws of Health. Dr. Watkins, could you share with our listeners a bit about that series that you're doing now?
Yes. There are some principles, some principles of health that are very, very powerful in their ability to heal. And it's interesting because they're very simple principles, but if we adhere to them, they can make a difference. And they're called the 8 laws of health. And so today we're going to just talk about one of the 8 laws, which is exercise. But there, as I said, there are 8. Perhaps the next one we'll talk about will be nutrition.
Okay.
And then there's water, there's sunshine, there's temperance, air, there's rest, and we don't think about rest as being very important, but rest is one of the laws, and then there's trust in divine power. God is the healer, and we must recognize His healing power.
Sunshine jumped out at me too. I think a lot of people might not really think about the importance, of sunshine, and that even more stood out to me as we're moving into the winter months where the sun is not going to be out, as much as it would in, the spring and the summer. So that's going to be a very, very interesting principle and law that we'll be covering ultimately. Wow, this is going to be a powerful series, my brother. I mean, a lot of people trusting in divine power. Now, that's powerful, of course. But today we're going to be talking about exercise. Doc, a lot of times people, when it comes to exercising, people, of course, once they've reached a certain point in their life, will acknowledge that they may need to exercise. I mean, when you're young, when you're a kid, they even have recess in school. You go into school, and even during the course of the day, they'll give you an hour to just get outside and run around, and you get some exercise that way. And then after school, kids are playing, they get the exercise that way. But as people get older and they start to work and family, and unless they're just into sports like that, most people just become sedentary and don't get as much exercise. And although they will acknowledge that, as the gut starts to, the waist starts to expand, I need to exercise, but actually getting out there and exercising is a totally different thing. But what about people when they feel healthy? You might have somebody says, I just got a clean bill of health. The doctor says, I'm good. I don't really need to exercise. Why does the body need to move? What is it about exercise that is so important to our health?
Well, we can approach it from a number of different ways. We can approach it from a physiologic perspective. The joints need to move. The muscles need to be strengthened. For instance, when I left surgery, as I said, kicking and screaming, but trying to do what God directed me to do, I one of the first things that I did was to start a program in some of the senior buildings, and I was interested in and people who were old, poor, uneducated, and black. I figured that would be one of the sickest groups I could find. If I could help them, that I could help anyone. And I went into these buildings, got permission through the city to go into these buildings, and I was interested in helping them with diabetes and heart disease and, you know, hypertension, cancer, et cetera. But they were interested in arthritis because arthritis, you know, I tell people Arthur was sleeping with all those women, and it's mainly women that came initially. And that's another topic in and of itself. But they were interested in arthritis. And so I had to learn to help them with arthritis. And one of the things that I found that was so profound is that it wasn't always just the degeneration of the joint. Certainly that was a factor in some instances, and maybe in most, it contributed to it. But one of the most profound things was lack of exercise and weaknesses of the muscles and unevenness of the muscle strength that contributed to their pain. And once I got them moving about and strengthening those muscles, that pain decreased, those joints swelling decreased, the inflammation went away. And so exercise is profound in terms of strength. It helps the heart. It stimulates the immune system. It does so many things for us that we just don't think about, but it is very, very, very important. It changes the mood, our moods. You know, one person said it's impossible to jog and be depressed at the same time because it causes the release of endorphins. And so exercise is such a profound thing, and yet we don't take it. I was in my reading last week. I ran across a study that was done at the Cleveland Clinic. Now, that's significant for me because I'm from Cleveland. My first medical job was Cleveland Clinic. My first research job was at Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Edelston, when we talk about nutrition, we're going to talk about him. He showed the profound ability of nutrition to reverse heart disease and many other problems. Well, they did a study that was about 25 years long, where they looked at exercise, and they said that exercise is probably the most important factor in getting a person well and helping them to live longer. And they made the statement that actually my wife brought me the article, so it was amazing when she said it, but then I went and read the whole research on it, that lack of exercise activity was probably more profound on a person's chance of living than smoking.
Mm.
You hear me?
That
lack of exercise was worse than smoking.
Mm. That's deep. So a person then who exercises and smokes may do better than a person that does not smoke and does not exercise.
Now, it's very interesting because, and that shows how brilliant you are. That is something I saw early in my practice. I saw a study that showed that people who exercised and smoked lived longer than people who didn't exercise and didn't smoke. But I never thought about it in terms of exercise actually being more important than not smoking. But that's what the research actually showed years ago, and it's been confirmed by the work that they did at Cleveland Clinic. And they did that with, as I said, 122,000 individuals.
You know what's deep about that, doctor, even to stay here for a second, is that means then also that if you smoke, you better exercise. You know what I'm saying? Because there must be something about that exercise and that offsets whatever the harmful effects of the, I guess maybe like, you know, of the nicotine and so forth, something about those endorphins, huh, that or the chemicals that are released when people are exercising that actually help to fight disease.
There's so many benefits, as we were talking about moments ago. There's so many benefits to the exercise, and so you're getting all kinds of benefits. It's not just a double barrel, but it's a triple, quadruple barrel shotgun that's really helping you to be healthy.
Well, Doc, if we could talk for a moment about exercise in the heart, you know, because there are people out here that, with all of the many benefits of exercising and moving the body, you know, I'm sure you would know better than I that it would appear to me, though, that with the, you know, the cardiovascular things that are going on with the body when you exercise, particularly when you're doing cardiovascular, you know, specific exercises, that it could have a great benefit to the heart. And of course, we know how important the heart is to our healthy heart is to the, you know, to maintaining and obtaining a healthy body. Could you talk about the effects of exercise, what it might have, the effects of exercise on the heart or the benefits to the heart?
Well, you know, heart disease is the number one disease killer in this country. I say it that way because I believe that the number one cause of death in this country is stress. So we'll talk about that again one day. But heart disease is the number one cause of death from a disease standpoint, in men and in women. You know, there's so much emphasis on breast cancer that we think breast cancer is the number one cause of death in women. That's not so. Heart disease actually kills more women than the top 16, the next 16 causes of death combined. And so heart disease is a major, major, major cause of death in women. And yet exercise contributes to the reversal of heart disease. In fact, when I was I was looking at this topic and learning principles of healthy living, one of the guys that was very, very important to me was a guy named Nathan Prinigan, who developed heart disease, and was basically sent home and told to go home and get your house in order because you're going to die. And Prinigan decided that he wasn't ready for that and started a program to reverse his heart disease and then later took that program to many others. He said that you have to do aerobic exercise. You got to have a foot on the ground, in fact, to really reverse the disease of the cardiovascular system. You know, the heart and the vascular system has a very profound effect on us, and we need to make sure that we're doing all that we can to stimulate that. And so exercise is important in doing just that.
Well, you know, Doc, you mentioned, you started off, you talked about the importance of exercise, and we talked about exercise and smoking and how, you know, exercise is more important, or just as important, more important to maintaining a healthy body, and that its power, exercise, the power of exercise, greatly improves health, so much so that, like we talked about, someone that exercises and smokes will do better than a person that does not exercise but yet does not smoke. Would the same be true, or when we talk about diet and exercise, would you take somebody that exercises, but eats poorly. I mean, eats all of the stuff that's going to clog your arteries, you know, the meat, the dairy, the sugar, all the stuff that we know is not good for us. Take somebody that exercises but eats poorly, and couple that with somebody that eats good, I mean, they might be vegan. You know, they don't eat the things that clog their veins, you know, their arteries or whatever, but they don't exercise. Have you seen any studies on that as far as because, of course, we know that diet plays a major role in our level of health, you know, because there are certain foods that we can eat that heal, and then there are certain, you know, certain foods have healing properties, and then there are, of course, certain foods that are going to be detrimental to your health. What about exercise and diet? Would a person who exercises but eats poorly fare better than a person who does not exercise but eats good?
Well, certainly it's important to utilize all of the principles, all of the principles. And so, you know, we look at exercise as being very, very important. But equally, we look at, nutrition as being important. And so when you combine all of them, you get the best of both worlds. You don't want to not exercise, you know. You want to do all that you can, and so that's why we're talking about the eight laws of health, the eight laws of health. And if a person is willing to utilize all of those principles, then they can expect to get really profound effects. It's almost like a multiplying effect. Exercise and eat right. It's not just going to add be one and one is two. It'll be a multiplying effect, you know, so that you're getting 20 instead of two. You know, that's the kind of way you want to look at it. And so all of those principles are very, very important for your health.
Can we talk for a moment, Doc, about health being its own reward? Because a lot of times people, whether it's talking about starting an exercise program or whether it's talking about changing, you know, eating patterns, you know, from being carnivorous to going vegan or vegetarian, you know, ultimately the bottom line is you if you have optimal health, that's your reward. You know, it's not like you just won't be sick. Not being sick is your reward. Now, that will help you, of course, in many areas of your life. Not being sick can help you to stay on your job. Not being sick can increase or alleviate certain issues that might take place in your marriage otherwise. But can we talk about that just for a moment? Because I think that's important, that when people realize that you'll be healthy and that is your reward, not being sick is the reward for eating right, exercising, following the eight principles, the eight laws of health. Could you talk about that?
I'm going to probably approach it initially from a different perspective than you may think. I think that when you exercise, that it has a or when you take care of yourself, let me leave exercise out for a moment. Just when you take care of yourself, I think it has a profound psychological effect on you. I mean, what I find is that most people know what they should do and what they should do, at least to some degree, but are not doing it. You know, the cares of this world or whatever is preventing them from following the principles that they know can help them to live longer. And when they take charge of their health, All right. It makes them just feel good about themselves. I remember at one point I had got off my exercise program because I was working to save the lives of other people. And so I decided I'm going to get on my exercise. And, you know, I like to play basketball, tennis, you know, stuff like that, you know, baseball. But I realized that my schedule didn't allow that. You know, I'd have to get people together. But I needed something that I could just get out and do myself. And so I went to my office. At the time, I was in Silver Springs and this large building. And I think I was one of the only people in the building that day. So at 5 in the morning, and I was on my treadmill, and the sweat was just popping, and I had gospel music. And the thought hit me that Doc, you work very hard for others, but this you're doing for yourself. And my head just went higher, and I just felt good about that I was doing this for me, all right? And so taking care of yourself, in addition to the physical benefits, which are known, all right? I mean, we don't have to discuss that what you're doing is killing yourself. You know, matter of fact, I got a sermon that I preach now called "You Got to Be Crazy." You know, people doing the same thing expecting a different result. You know, you just got to be crazy. You know, and but when you take charge of your health, I mean, it just makes you feel good emotionally because you're doing something. You know, the Bible says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." And so we have to learn to take care of ourselves. And one of the things we have to do is write out our schedules, put ourselves in it. And one of the things we have to do, we got to change our diets, and we got to get some exercise in.
So what you're saying, Doc, is that in addition to just the benefit of not being sick and just, you know, going through a day feeling average, okay, you're not sick, you actually added to that, you will not only not be sick, you will actually feel good, okay? So, I mean, that's a very important piece to it. I mean, that's a benefit because that could motivate somebody. Somebody might feel like that might not just be enough of a motivator. Obviously, for some people, it's not that they just won't be sick. But, you know, because that's why people actually do some of the vices that people have, whether it's drinking or drugs or whatever. They drink and then they get happy. You know what I mean? Or they might, you know, get high and feel blissful, you know. But you're saying that, hey, you can be happy or add to the happiness, or you can increase.
You can be healthy. You can be healthy. I remember my freshman year in medical school, a professor made a statement that I thought was ridiculous. He said that health is more than the absence of disease. And I said, now, this is crazy. Man, what are you talking about? If you don't have diabetes, you don't have heart disease, you're healthy, you know. You don't have cancer, no arthritis. He says, no, health is more than the absence of disease. Health includes a feeling of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
A feeling of well-being. That thing hit me, man, when it sunk in. You know, you got to feel good about who you are and where you're going. Health is more than the absence of disease. It includes this feeling of well-being. And when you're taking care of yourself, when you're doing the things you need to do, you get that feeling of well-doing.
That is a motivator. You know, that is something to look forward to. And I think that, like, for example, you may take people, there are people who exercise, like right now, there are some people that might look outside and be like, you know, it's kind of chilly and I'm not going to go out there and run. You have people that are running in the snow. You know, they'll be running, they'll be out there jogging in the snow. I mean, some with no shirt on, you know, out there, and they do it regularly, you know, to the point where some might say it's excessive, you know. So there must be something going on that causes that. I don't know if there's a, now just talk about dopamine for a moment. I mean, I don't know if when somebody is running or doing exercise, would that be a chemical that is released that gives some people a rush to the point where they feel like they just got to get out there and exercise, and they just feel miserable if they can't?
Yeah, that's why we talked about, you know, that it's impossible to exercise and be depressed at the same time. Because what happens when you exercise, you know, it does release those endorphins. And those endorphins have a very profound effect on your emotions, how you feel. And so, man, it's exciting to get out there and be able to do the things you need to do and get the results that you get when you exercise.
Well, Doc, can we talk about for a moment just people want gratification, you know, and just the thought of people now, of course, at this moment, we're not talking about people that get out there and that are running in the snow. We're talking about people that we're talking about might not even want to run in the sunshine, you know, people who are just beginning, thinking about starting an exercise program, people who may have been told by a doctor that they need to begin an exercise program. We are very results oriented. So if you take somebody that's obese and the doctors told them, listen, you know, you really need to lose some of that weight because, you know, it's going to cause a problem for you. It's already causing problems for you in terms of mobility. It's going to cause heart problems. You know, it's a risk factor for other things. You need to start getting rid of some of that weight. And I'm going to go on an exercise program. And they're looking at themselves, and they might be 400 pounds, 350 or whatever, just obese. And they go to the gym or start exercising, and for a week, they're doing good. But they're looking in the mirror every day, and after a week, it doesn't appear that they've done anything. Now, internally, they may have actually started to turn things around. You know, the body's thanking them. But physically, when they see themselves, they don't see anything. They look up, they get on the scale, they may have lost 1 pound. And they're like, this is crazy. I'm up here killing myself. I lost a pound. I've been going to the gym every day. You know, this is crazy. We're results-oriented. Could you talk about the commitment that is necessary? It's not, when you talk about exercise, you mean, I'm sure, continual exercise. You got to do something every day, or at the very least, several times a week, not just every now and then.
One of the things that make me unhappy is with my people, is I find that we have a hard time committing to ourselves, you know, to the extent that we need to do that. You know, Les Brown says, when you've done the best you can, it's not sufficient. We have to do what's necessary. We have to learn that we are people who do what's necessary. And sometimes it may mean long hours. You know, I tell my patients, you know, you didn't get to where you were overnight. Don't expect to reverse it overnight. And although, you know, clearly there are some very profound effects that I've seen with lifestyle change in short periods of time. You know, I have a lady who was on hospice, and in 28 days she was off her oxygen. You know, she had lung cancer. She's breast had gone to the lung. She was off that oxygen and doing well. You know, but it took a commitment, you know, even to get to where she was in that 28 days, man, that thing was hard, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have to recognize that it's necessary to do what is necessary. And if we do that, then we can expect to get kind of results that we're looking for. And that's what people need to understand. They have to do it in season and out of season, you know. Anytime you set a goal, if that goal is lofty, it's going to be hard to get there. You're not just going to waltz up in here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put the effort in. And then when you do that, you feel good. That's why a person goes to school, you know. When I graduated from med school, man, it was exciting. Why? Because I worked. You know, I worked hard. And my friends in med school, we're tight now because we went through that battle together, you know. And we know what it took in order to make it. Once you achieve that goal, you'll feel good about yourself if you're willing to hang in there.
You know, people, I'm sure everybody's seen these before and after pictures of somebody, an individual who may have been obese. They may have been, you know, again, 300-400 pounds or whatever, and they show the before picture, and you see all the rolls and rolls of fat, and then you see the after picture and the person. If you just look in their eyes at the picture, and you don't even look at the body, you just look in their eyes, you see a difference. The before picture, you know, the person's eyes look one way, the expression is one way. The after picture, you can see the pride beaming from the person because they're looking at themselves now and they remember, you know, what they looked like before, and they remember getting up. They remember the sacrifices that they had to make. They remember pushing away the meals. You know, they remember denying their body what it was craving, you know, and giving it what it needed. And, you know, when we see these pictures, we don't oftentimes see everything that went into making that transformation happen. But even in addition to just the outer physical shell or the body, when we look at it, we see the physical, the organs, you can actually make that same transition, and exercise is going to be a large part of that. Let's say, Doc, you take somebody that's got a disease. Let's say you take somebody that's got cancer, and they're hearing this show, or diabetes, or arthritis, or something, and they're hearing this show, and they just never connected exercise with the reversal of disease. I mean, because when we're talking about exercise in this, in the context of the 8 laws of health, we're not just talking about it from the standpoint of, because most people, when they think of exercise, they look at it as prevention, on the prevention side. You know, if you exercise, you can prevent this, you know. But when we're talking about it today, even exercise can help in the process of reversing diseases. Is that correct, Doc?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. But I want to go back a little bit. When you were talking, one of the things that I thought about, and I did on my radio show when I was talking about this, is I tell people that, you know, one of the reasons that people fail is they haven't learned to love themselves. You know, you got to feel good about yourself. You got to feel that you're worth whatever the effort is to reverse these diseases, and if you're worth the effort, then you will do what's necessary to get well. See, but if you're not worth it, then you will stop. You know, you will not follow through. You will not do the things necessary. You know, you got to work hard in order to really achieve this goal, and you're worth doing it. But yes. These things make a difference, and you're able to really change your life in a very profound way, and you can do it in some changes you can make in a very short period of time, but others it takes time because, you know, as I said, these are deep seated. In order to reverse diabetes, for instance, you have to get down to the core of what caused the disease, all right? What caused the disease? And then you can talk about reversing the disease. You know, if we're just going to stop at getting the blood sugar normal, that can happen pretty fast. But
good point.
It's more than just getting the blood sugar normal. You got to actually, deal with the organs that's causing the diabetes and get them to be well. That takes much more effort.
Mm-hmm. You know, and even, can you talk about even humility just for a moment? Because it may take humility to even admit that I need help. you know, with a, with an exercise program. Because, you know, let's say, for example, you take somebody that's, that hasn't exercised since high school, okay, and now they're in their 40s or 50s or whatever, and they just have let their body go. They just, you know, they just haven't done anything physical. They've had a nice office job, you know, they never had to do any real physical work that would actually cause the muscles to really have to move, and now they find themselves in a position where, you know, they know that they need to exercise. But it might take humility to say, okay, well, I'm going to go join a gym. You know, say, and, you know, you walk into this gym and everybody else around you is walking around, you know, looking like, you know, like they've been exercising for years, and you look like, and you look like you haven't exercised in years. You know, it might take humility to say, listen, maybe I need a personal trainer. Maybe I need somebody to show me what to do. And a lot of times people don't want to bear their weakness like that. You know, I don't want to go someplace and let everybody see how flabby I've become. Or, I mean, you got people that won't even, that will not go to their high school reunion, you know, 25-year, 30-year reunion, because they don't want people to see them in the state that they are in now. You know, it may take humility, admit, submit, you know, to
You know, humility is one of the things, but you know, I think the key thing is you gotta want to get well, you know, and you gotta understand how to succeed. Success just doesn't happen, you know. There are reasons that people succeed. I tell my patients to get a trainer, you know, if they're able, you know, to get a trainer for at least a month, and then periodically meet back with that trainer, you know, to assess where you are. And it also helps because you got somebody looking over your shoulder, you know what I mean? You know, helping to stimulate you to do what you know you need to do, and interestingly enough, what you want to do. See, I had to learn that people actually want to get well, you know, but you gotta be willing to do what's necessary, and if you're willing to do what's necessary, then you can get well, and that's so awesome.
What about people, Doc? As people are aging, they may still obviously need to exercise, but obviously as people age, you know, who have not been exercising, you know, they're not going to be able to just get out and just run 5 miles, you know, or maybe get on the floor and even do 25 push-ups, you know. So are there certain exercises that you would recommend for somebody? And I know, of course, it would depend on their level of health or lack thereof, but are there certain exercises that you prescribe?
Well, what I would say is that a person who has not been exercising for a period of time, they probably do need to definitely have a trainer or someone who is knowledgeable. You know, I remember Joe Johns, when he was with Channel 4 here, called me up and wanted to interview me. And so I asked him, why do you want to interview me? You know, because he was big time at the time. So, I guess he's still here, but even bigger. But he said, I wanted to interview you because you're an authority on fitness for seniors. And I said, well, no, I'm not. I'm just interested. But he insisted. And finally, I said, okay, if you say I am, I am. Well, now I pretty much am, because I've done so much work with seniors. You need to get somebody who is knowledgeable, whether it's me or someone else, that's knowledgeable about what to do, how to do it, and then let them carry you through the process, get you started, evaluate you, see what you can do. Sometimes people don't know what they're capable of doing. Let them see what you can do, and then let's move from there.
Well, what about the brain, Doc? I mean, even exercise and the brain. I think when people think about exercising, the first thing that comes to mind is the body. And of course, you know, people thinking about exercise, sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, and lifting weights, and you know that whole thing, which is fine. But what about exercise and the brain? The effects of exercise on the brain and for the exercises for the brain, because as people get older, they might have, you know, people who don't even read anymore, you know, who just sit and watch television. I mean, you know, what about exercises for the brain? Because once the brain goes, everything else is going too.
I'm sorry. You know, one of the things that actually pushed me into leaving surgery was an interview a conversation I had with a friend of mine. I called this guy, his name was Ernie Plotter. He was a virologist. He was the associate director of the Viral Institute at NIH. But Ernie and I had done a lot of stuff together, and he was my friend. And so I called him up. I said, Ernie, you know, I think God wants me to leave surgery and go into alternative medicine, but everybody tells me I'm crazy. What do you think? Well, Ernie and I, we talked, and he did something that's very important. He listened to me. He asked me, what do you think God wants you to do, and so forth. And then after that, he started telling me some stories. And I don't remember any of them but one. Ted, you know, I'm on a lot of boards, and one of them is this nursing home. He said they took the people in that nursing home and put them on leashes and took them out to walk. And when they got them up to 5 miles a day, the Alzheimer's, the dementia reversed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow. That was so profound.
So
exercise has a tremendous impact on the brain, on the cardiovascular, but it also, as we talked about, has a tremendous impact on the mood, and that has its seat also in the brain.
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of times people don't even consider the connection between exercise and the effects that it may have on the brain. But that, what you just shared, wow, about the connection between the Alzheimer's and the brain and the exercise, and that I know that blew your mind, because it blew my mind just hearing you say talk about it. What about mobility? People with mobility problems, they're like, hey, I would get out there and exercise, but, you know, the doctor says my knees are bad, or, you know, there's some issue that's limiting an individual's mobility. What would you suggest to someone who might say, you know, hey, I
once
run
again,
or
it's
jog?
It's important to get with someone who knows what they're doing. You know, I had a lady in my senior program, for instance. She hadn't walked in 8 years. I evaluated it. I realized that it wasn't because she couldn't walk. Her limbs all worked. It's just she wasn't walking because she was emotionally damaged by a dominating sister, to be honest, you know. And so one, I reestablished in her, or started to reestablish in her, a sense of self-worth. And then I started building up muscle systems, you know, a little bit at a time. And what we were able to do was actually get that lady up walking. Matter of fact, I think it was Channel 9. They did a thing called Up Out of Chairs, and it showed this woman walking around the gym pushing her wheelchair. Even before those you know, rolling walkers, I had them behind wheelchairs walking, because I saw that it gave them stability and would help them to be able to walk further. And so you can do it. It's just, you know, and a lot of times people have arthritis and so forth that can be reversed if the person knows how to reverse it. And one of the ways is exercise. For instance, arthritis of the knees. Bicycle riding is the best exercise for the knees. And so we get people out there exercising on those bicycles, and it can make a profound difference. Then, you know, then after that, we get them walking and so forth. So, yes, there are things that can be done if a person wants to do it. So just, I tell my patients, look, don't worry about what you can do, can't do. Just do what you can do and just keep doing it progressively, and you can improve.
You know, doctor, a lot of times when people are talking about conditions and reasons to do something, we talk about the benefits of a particular program. If you do this, these are the benefits. You know, these are the benefits to changing your diet. These are the benefits to exercising. Let's talk about, in addition to not just the benefits, but what if you don't? Okay, these, we know that we've talked about the benefits of if you do, what you can expect. You can expect a better quality of life. You can expect to live healthy. You can be happy. But what if you don't? Could you talk about atrophy, what it is, and other conditions that could come along with? We now know that if you do, you know, for example, there's a scripture that says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments, then these blessings will come upon you. But then in the next scripture, it talks about, you know,
if
thou shalt not.
Yeah, yeah, you're talking about Deuteronomy 28. Yeah. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14, talks about the benefits. And 28:15 until about Deuteronomy 31, chapter 31, talks about what happens if you don't. So I mean, the don'ts are very profound. But yeah, if you don't exercise, like you said, overall, the simple is your health is going to decline. You're going to die sooner. That's the bottom line. But then, you know, there gradations. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you just lay in bed, a healthy person laying in bed for 3 days, when they get up, they're going to be weak. If there's nothing wrong with you, all right, nothing wrong with you. You just decided, I'm going to spend 3 days laying down. I ain't going to get up and do nothing. They're going to be weak when they get up, all right? Because those muscles are going to start atrophying. You know, the lungs are going to start shutting down. They're going to be weak. Now, certainly you can regain that. You know, I when I did my research for the senior program, I learned that you can regain 20 years of function in 4 to 6 weeks of exercise. 20 years of function in 4 to 6 weeks of exercise. So, I mean, the body has a tremendous ability to regain. The problem is that when you get down, it's much harder psychologically be willing to do what's necessary because, you know, you have to overcome such obstacles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but if you just decide, hey, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do what I'm able to do as long as I'm able to do it, you're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins. Wow, and if this wasn't enough, okay, we're actually going to be doing a series on the 8 laws of health. Today we talked about exercise, but if you want to hear more and you can't wait until next time, Dr. Watkins has a show of his own that comes on every Monday, coming on tomorrow. Doc, can you tell them about your show?
Yeah, we have a program called To Your Health. It comes on every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m., on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. But also, if you go to www.pfw.org, you can actually get it live from anywhere in the world, really, that has internet.
And how can people reach you? I'm sure that there are people out there who may have heard you. They're not, again, everybody, you didn't tune in by accident. You tuned in on purpose. You're here because either this information is for you or it's for somebody that you know. Doc, how can people get in contact with you if they want to come see you? You know, they might have a condition. They like, hey, I heard about Dr. Watkins. I finally found him. You know, how can they reach you to schedule an appointment to see you?
Well, they can certainly call my office. That number is 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992. Or you can go to our website, which is www.twiliving.com. TWI, that stands for the Watkins Institute. TWIliving.com. And you can learn about some of the things that we're doing, get some recipes, you know, even order some of our products that we have that we use for our patients right there online.
Doc, before I let you go, I got to be remiss if I didn't ask you about fasting and exercise. Can they be done together, or should, when you fast, should you just stop, cease the exercising? Or because with the lack of intake of food, we know food can be energy. Would that and fasting and exercising be something that you don't want to do at the same time?
No. In fact, I encourage my people to fast and exercise an hour to an hour and a half a day. On our fasting program, your energy actually increases. It doesn't decrease. Most people I put on our fast for 10 to 14 days, but I remember this one gentleman, he wanted to do a 90 day fast and did it, you know, he wanted to lose weight, and he did it. He lost 89 pounds in 90 days, you know. But at one point, he plateaued for about a week or so, maybe even more. He was doing a lot of traveling at the time with his job. And I told him, double your exercise, you know, double the amount of time. Instead of walking 1 hour, I want you to walk two. And when he did that, he lost 14 pounds in the next 14 days. I mean, it was just tremendous. So exercise is very, very important, even during the fasting. Now, if you're doing a water fast, that's a different story. And I don't recommend people doing water fast unless they're really medically supervised. And I seldom ever actually put my patients on a water fast. But the one that we use, which is I call a modified juice fast, then you are encouraged to exercise.
So
let me say one lady I remember, normally I don't try to talk people into anything, but this lady, I stayed on her for 3 years to do the fast, and finally she said, Dr. Watkins, I'm tired of being tired, and she got on the fast, and I told her, I said, now you need to, after I'd gone over everything else, I said, you're going to need to walk. She said, that's why I'm coming to you, because I can't walk. I said, so what you need to understand is what I mean by walking. You do what you're able to do, and then as you're able to do more, you add, and you're going to be able to do more because the program will facilitate that. Her daughter bought her a treadmill after 1 week. Mm-hmm. She said, I've never seen my mother exercise so much. I don't want her to stop. And she mm-hmm. was able to get off all of her medications during that 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so exercise is a critical part of it. And as you fast, and if you're doing the right kind of fast, which I believe we have, then you will be able to actually do more and not less on the fast.
Wow. Now, if this show wasn't enough to motivate you, nothing, I don't think anything will, you know. I'm just happy that we had an opportunity to speak back again with Dr. Ted Watkins. He's doing a series on the 8 laws of health, and today we talked about one of them, which is fasting. You don't want to miss the other ones. Doc, anything that we haven't covered on exercise that you would like to, in the remaining moment that we didn't cover, that you would like to share before we go?
Well, exercise is such a vast topic. But I guess the one thing that I sort of intimated it earlier. You know, I did some research on us, because I imagine most of your audience are African American, and it turns out that we tend to exercise, especially in the middle age group, to a great deal less than our Asian and white counterparts. And so I would encourage people to look in the mirror and see that you are a very important person and that you deserve the best, and exercise is one of the best things that you can do. You know, get started. You know, if it's just 5 minutes a day, commit yourself to do it. How much? You need to do an hour to an hour and a half a day. Actually, the research says if you exercise an hour and a half to 2 hours, you live longer than anyone else. So if you want to live long, then you want to get your time up. Now, don't worry about where you are when you start. Just focus on, I'm going to get started, and I'm going to do my best and let God do the rest.
Hmm. You know, I was going to ask you, could you overdo it? But, hey, let's get started first. We'll worry about overdoing it.
No, the study at Children's Hospital, I mean at Cleveland Clinic, said that, contrary to previous studies, that actually the more you exercise and the more strenuously you exercise, the longer you lived.
Wow, man. So everybody, you know what? It's time to get an exercise thing going. Doc, didn't you start a program over there? Don't you have a program at the Watkins Institute?
Yes, we do. We have a program that we can get you started with.
Everybody, make sure you get in contact with Dr. Watkins. Can you get that contact information again? Because I know after hearing this, there'll be people who have not started a program that are definitely going to want to get with you, Doc.
Okay. Once again, my office number is 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992. And our website is www.twiliving.com.
Everybody, make sure you check out Dr. Watkins tomorrow, Monday, on WHUR 89.3 FM.
WPFW.
For your health. PFW. And that's give that time again, from 2 to 3?
2 to 3, 89.3 FM or WPFWFM.org.
Awesome. Dr. Watkins, again, thank you, my brother. I can't wait to have you back on to continue this powerful, powerful series, my brother, for all of the lives over the years that you've touched, for all of the work. You know, I know that a job such as yours is not an easy one, and I'm sure that with all of the work that you have to do to keep getting information out, to keep sharing information, keep touching lives and saving lives, it's not, I'm sure, not always the easiest job, and at times could be a thankless job. So I want to thank you for all of the lives that you have touched, for all of the lives that you will touch, you know, and for being a guest on our show. We are very fortunate and blessed to have you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be a servant of the Lord, and as He allows me, I will continue to do.
Well, thank you so much, my brother. Until the next time, everybody, that is Dr. Ted Watkins. You definitely want to make sure, again, check him out tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. That's Eastern Standard Time on WP, like Paul, F like Frank, W. That's 89.3 FM. Okay, you want to check him out, To Your Health, on WPFW 89.3 in Washington. That's every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m., okay? So, again, my name is Jawanza. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I really appreciate it. To all of the new listeners, again, thank you. Share this link with other people. You know, again, we oftentimes, when we look at our health, there are certain just aspects of it that, you know, we might take for granted. Like, for example, exercising may be one. You know, we might know that we need to exercise. We've heard of the benefits of exercise, but to actually do it is another thing. It has its rewards, you know. I mean, you can look at people and exercise and tell who exercises and who doesn't, you know. But aside from just the physical appearance, okay, you have organs on the inside of you that benefit every time you do something. Don't look at the end result. Like Dr. Watkins said, start where you are. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, commit to that. Start there. Do what you can do. Then stop. And then tomorrow, come back at the same allotted time. Do what you can do. And then stop. And over time, you're going to start to see an increase in what you can do. And before you know it, instead of doing 3 push-ups, you realize that you're up to 10. And before you know it, you realize that you're up to 20. But it takes time. It takes time. Some of these muscles haven't been used in years, you know. And after you do the exercises, you got to reward yourself, pamper yourself a little bit. If you got to get a Epsom salt bath, okay, put some lavender drops in there and sit and relax, light a candle and soak those muscles, put on some soft music and just relax and feel good about the progress that you're making, then do that, okay? But after you work hard, then you got to reward yourself, reward your muscles, and look in yourself in the mirror and say, thank you, because you're doing it for you. And for some people, exercising, again, it's a personal thing. You know, you got to do something in your life for you. Many of us do so much for everybody else. I mean, we've got family, we've got friends, and, you know, just commitments to other people, things to do, places to be. And then when it comes down to finding and making time, not just finding time, sometimes you have to make time for you. You have to block out time for you. Like, okay, this is my time. I'm turning off the phone. I'm not answering the phone. I'm not committing to anybody else but me. This is my time because I deserve it. I do so much for everybody else. I deserve this time for me. And you will see wonders, okay? You will see wonders. People start looking at you and wondering, you know, wow, what are you doing? There's something different about you. You hear stories about like that, that can be you. It's real. You know, people wonder. They look, what's going on? You're losing weight or what's going on? You look different. You sound different. Well, you are different. Why? Because you started to love yourself. Not just love yourself in word, but loving yourself indeed. Well, everybody, again, thank you so much for your time. To all of the new listeners, again, thank you so much for tuning in. Spread the word. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?